Hello and welcome to Hell is in the Cloud. Still first day here of Ignite 2023. And Marco, we have another guest with us.
Yes, this time we are switching topics, switching to my area, so M365 in general. And yeah, Joe Fernandez is your name. Hi, Joe. I'm really glad we are finally able to meet. You are doing powered automate stuff. So maybe you can give us a quick introduction, who you are, what are you responsible for?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here on the podcast. So yeah, Joe, I started my career at Microsoft 7 years ago already. I started actually not on the Power Platform side, but on the Azure side. I used to be a consultant, basically doing migration of on-prem workloads into Azure for some of our European customers. So a lot of good experience there, working closely with customers to do those migrations. And then 5 years ago or so, I switched to a product management role within the Power Platform engineering team. And there I started AI Builder. So I was part of the initial team that started AI Builder, which is our component with the Power Platform that allows you to basically add AI capabilities easily to your automations, applications, and so on across the Power Platform. And since a year and a half or so, I'm part of the Power Automate team. That's my Microsoft journey.
Okay, it sounds like a lot of times if we look at the whole keynote and stuff like this, it looks like AI is so new, but you're telling me you're doing AI Builder for 5 years?
Definitely, right? 5 years. And I mean, even if you look at the Microsoft scale, we have research teams on AI for 20 years plus. Yeah. So it's definitely a topic we'll be looking at. It seems indeed like in the last year, 2 years and a half with all the advancement in GPT and transformer models, the acceleration has been exponential, and we all see the possibilities of that. So yeah, that's also I think one of the reasons why we have such a strong AI infrastructure in Azure is because we've been doing AI for several years. You cannot build, I think in the keynote, Satya was mentioning this morning, AI supercomputers, those take time to build and those take expertise to build. So that's the good thing of having a track record of being focused on AI for several years now. But yeah, it's super exciting times on AI, particularly now, yes.
I remember that I played around with such tools in Azure quite a few years ago, where I had to train a model with, models of cars. And this was just a first example. And then it was able to predict some prices, I guess, something like that. Do you remember?
Yes, the indeed, Azure Machine Studio, all that. It's interesting. Part of what we do for platform is democratizing access to building application automation and so on. But since probably 5 years or so, we had the Azure Cognitive Services, which basically allows you to call AI services just with an API. So I think we've been the company to democratize access to advanced technology like AI. And now with Copilot, it's just one click away in across all our many apps.
Okay, perfect. So it looks like you have a background with AI, mm-hmm. a better understanding. Maybe, as mentioned, we're here with 8 guys, and we said in the keynote, in the I think the first part, what Satya talked about was very AI fundamentals and basics and
hardware
stuff like this. And we really sat down and looked at each other and said, okay. If we look at the past, and I think the last Ignite we did, 2019, I think was a lot more approachable because we looked around and said, hey, there was a lot of stuff I don't get, because it's not my field of expertise. Absolutely. And it was very Azure heavy. But with your background, so the first half of the session, you know what a llama is and stuff like this. Is this everything you are familiar with?
So yes, as part of the work I do, I spend time learning around all our AI stack and all different technologies out there and investments. But yeah, indeed, I think one of the interesting thing of the keynote was it's a whole stack. You can choose the area where you're more comfortable or the area where you need the most. I'm a company. I want to develop a large AI model and infrastructure. That's your area. I'm a developer. I want to add AI to my applications, to my code applications. You have Azure and the new AI Studio to do that. I'm a seasoned developer. I don't know how to code, but I just want to build digital transformation solutions easily within my organization with a local interface. We have the Copilot Studio. So depending on your need, I think that we have a very complete offering to say, hey, you want to go like in the close to a metal and build those large AI models or leverage those large AI models. I'm a developer and I just need APIs and a platform to build on top of it. Or I'm a system developer. I need local, no code tools to help me build those solutions for me.
Okay. But I mean, at the end, it's a commitment. You know, if Microsoft is really developing now hardware, especially for AI, let's say, it's quite a commitment to this whole AI story, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. No, it is. I think you might have heard like the whole GPU shortage, yeah. And we're all trying to get GPU. So it is indeed a big investment. But it's. I mean, I think we all have experience even with ChatGPT where you try and say, "Wow, like this technology can really be transformative in the way we work." So we really believe that indeed, like us being also a productivity company, that our mission is to empower folks to do more. We believe that AI will enable people to do even more. So that's why we're investing heavily on AI. Yes.
Okay. So if we now go to the area where you're working, automate and these kind of things, you mentioned. So what's the killer announcement at Ignite that was made in your area?
So probably a killer announcement. Let's see. I'll start with Automate and then I can go out to our platform. So Automate, we are bringing copilots across the whole Automate suite. So a few months ago, even a year ago, we launched the initial Automate Copilot, which is basically now if you go to Automate.com, you have a box where you say, hey, describe what you want to automate. You can describe in natural language your process you want to automate, and we'll build the automation for you. So that we announced last year. A few months ago, we announced the Copilot for process mining. So we have an offering called Process Mining, which allows you to, based on your activity, your logs, we can recommend your automations. And now basically, as you go through the recommendation process, you can have a copilot to ask questions like, hey, like, can you please explain more this process? Like, what are their bottlenecks? Like, what type of automations do you recommend me? And the third pillar that we have within Automate, we call it Automate Desktop or RPA. So this is, if you need to automate a system, like an application or website that doesn't have API connectivity, and the only way to automate them is to basically replicate what a human does with mouse and keyboard, we have Automate Desktop. And today we announced that we now have a copilot within Automate Desktop. So you can use that copilot to help you build those two desktop automations. So now there's a copilot across the whole Automate suite to help you automate those processes and build more automations more easily. And then at the Power Platform level, we announced the Microsoft Copilot Studio, which is based on Power Virtual Agents. So this is something we've been investing for several years already. And what we've seen and what we've seen in the market is like, hey, Microsoft has been building, we've been building these copilots, but there's an appetite in the industry like, hey, how can I go and build my copilot? And building a copilot takes a bit of effort. Like you need to build an orchestrator, you need to build the interface, and you need to build like connectivity to different services if you want to improve the copilot with your own data. And now with the Copilot Studio, you can basically in a no-code interface, go and build your own copilot. So you can define, hey, I want the copilot to learn about, you can point in, for example, to a website and say, hey, like all my knowledge is in this website or SharePoint site, and Copilot Studio will learn from it. You can bring connectors. So we have what we call the connector ecosystem. So more than 1,000 connectors to all different services. You can say, hey, I want my copilot to talk to SAP or to Salesforce or to our own services as well. So that's probably like, if I were to encourage folks to check something out, is Copilot Studio as a no-code way now to build your own copilots easily.
Okay, maybe one step back. You just said there's this possibility that you can write free text and yep. It will translate it into a power automation somehow. Yep. How do you make sure that, things are happening that the user maybe not intended to happen? So, for example, data exfiltration or something, yeah? There was maybe either the prompt was not good enough or the interpretation of the prompt was not good enough, and then it resulted maybe in data exfiltration or in, I don't know, deleting of the wrong user, if this is possible with automation or something like that, you know?
That's a very good question. I would say two things on that front. The first one is indeed like we take the field of responsible AI very seriously. Like we have a number of guidelines on hey, like how do we build safe and reliable AI systems. And one of them, for example, one of those principles is to have what we call human delivery experience. Like we call it Copilot for a reason. It's not autopilot, it's Copilot. Like we're working with somebody. And when you type in that box, like, hey, I want to automate this process, we're going to show you a preview. Like, we're not going to say, okay, now we're going to just save the automation and run it without your approval. Like, we're going to first show you, like, one option, even multiple options. Like, if we're not sure, like, which automation is going to be best fitted for you, we're going to give you options. You can then, once you get the automation, you go into the Power Automate Designer, where can you go and customize that automation. So if you don't like what the Copilot came up with, you can always change that. So that's the first thing, like whatever experience, or the experience that we have today of natural language to, in this case, to automation, like we do require a human to review that first, make any modifications before saving and running that. And then the great thing about also Power Automate has been a solution out of the market for several years already. We have a very rich governance capability. So you can monitor how people in the organization are using the automations. You can also block like certain, like, hey, you say, I don't want automations being built that can, mix my CRM data with X before Twitter. So you can build those rules to say, hey, I don't want folks building automations that might include indeed
barriers.
Yes. So, okay.
So the underlying foundation for the Copilot automation stuff, that is really what you mentioned. It is already in place. It's Power Automate.
Yeah.
So this was exactly, at the scene, the demo, it really reminded me of Power Automate, virtual agents, even logic apps that we, and I think also Jan, is doing from a security part where he can launch for certain incidents that are happening logic apps. And as you mentioned, for the other end of the low code, this is here. So this is really the idea with that people take their personal experience or field of expertise in the field, then connect to their data. You mentioned SharePoint. All of these connectors, these are, I'm just calling it just Power Automate connection, but that's it. So that's the pool I can choose from in these kind of situations.
So if we're talking about the Copilot Studio, you can bring basically any artifact from the Power Platform. So if you have flows that you want to be part of that Copilot experience, so let's say that every time, I don't know, somebody asks about a sales related question, you want to trigger a flow to get that information, you can have that Copilot, that flow appears as a plugin. The model that we're following is the plugin model. So basically you have the Copilot, and if you want to expand the capabilities of the Copilot, you add plugins. And you can have a flow, a Power Automate flow, be a plugin. You can have a Power Automate connector, be a plugin. You can have even like AI Builder is also announcing now prompts. So now you can build prompts within AI Builder and share those, test those, and so on. And you can enable those prompts as well as plugins. So you can bring several of existing platform artifacts as capabilities within the Copilot. In Copilot Studio.
Okay, interesting. So the people who should start using these the people you're currently using Power Automate, AI Studio? These are the people you would encourage, hey, if your organization has access to the, because I think my understanding is you need the Microsoft 365 Copilot to leverage these plugin models, right? Or is it just, and I'm struggling. I think there was Jason Spataro, I think, did a really great point of explaining now with the current wording.
Yes.
What Copilot M365 is. So where is this part that you talked about, where's this situated? Does it require M365 Copilot?
To build your Copilot, no. If you want to build your Copilot, you don't need the M365 Copilot license.
Okay.
You basically, it's going to be what used to be a Power Virtual Agents license that will cover Copilot Studio. Then if you're going to publish that Copilot, we're going to charge you a license per usage, and your users don't need to have the M365 Copilot license. Like you say, hey, like if your Copilot is used a lot, you need more capacity. If it's less capacity, but it's not going to be the, basically to try to bring some clarity here, the M365 Copilot license is for the Microsoft Copilots, like the ones that we built that you want to use in Office, like the Teams Copilot, the Word Copilot, and so on. The Copilots that you build with Microsoft Copilot Studio, those don't need the Microsoft 365 Copilot license.
Oh, okay, they're separate.
They're separate, yes.
Oh, okay, that's a great clarification.
So coming back to this Copilot building on your own, what situation or what customer would build their own Copilot? In which situation? What are they looking for by doing so?
Definitely. I mean, and it's interesting the evolution that we did from PBA to Power Intelligence to Copilot Studio, because there are similar use cases. Like, hey, like I want to build like what used to be before, like for example, a internal company chatbot to ask kind of like HR questions or like how do I do my expenses and so on. Like now with the new GPT technology, you can make those much more smarter. So okay, now I have like my own company copilot that knows about my company policies, it knows about my opportunities, it knows about my business data. So those internal chatbots that used to be chatbots, now you can make them copilots and they can look and feel like a Microsoft copilot, or even like ChatGPT. Like you can have that natural language interaction. Okay. You don't have to like say in a precise way, like it's much more powerful now. So one of the use cases is like internal chatbots that now can be copilots. So that's the first one. And then you can also build like external facing copilots. Like let's say that you have a company, like we have seen like web pages that have like a chat assistant that you can ask questions about like support cases and so on. And those can also become like copilots. And with GPT technology, they're going to become much more smarter. And they can also, for example, you can build with Copilot Studio, support copilot, where in the building process, you say, hey, this is all my documentation about my product. You can say all your knowledge articles or your documentation and so on. And Copilot Studio is going to take that and build a copilot knowledgeable on all that. So, yeah, I would say like basically
PDF files, for example, or something.
You can have PDF files, and so basically, like if you've tried ChatGPT and say, hey, I would love to have my own ChatGPT with my enterprise data, or you've tried the Microsoft Copilot and say, hey, I would love to have a Copilot for my own application with my own business logic, or you have like chatbots that you wish they were a bit smarter and a bit more reliable. A copilot can be a great solution for that.
But I guess you would also need then some connectors, let's say, in the Copilot Studio. When you were talking about HR data, there might be an application, maybe within REST API or something like that. Is it then capable of pulling out this data too? Or
So that's the beauty of the Power Platform. So indeed, like we have on the Power Platform, we have over 1,000 connectors. So you can, from now, you can leverage those into the Copilot Studio. And then you can also use flows, like Power Automate flows. Like for example, in the case of HR, like sometimes we see that companies, they have like legacy applications that there's no API to connect to that, but you could build a desktop flow that basically runs on a machine, is able to interact with the application and extract the data that you need. And you can have that desktop flow be a plugin for Copilot Studio. So if somebody asks about the HR data and that requires like a bot basically to go and operate an application, you can have a flow as a plugin. So basically any Power Automate artifact, connector, and AI builder model are now enabled within the Copilot Studio to help you build that extensibility aspect.
Perfect. Anything else you want to share with me besides the copilots? Anything that is announced here at the Ignite?
I would definitely encourage folks to try out. I know it's a bit overwhelming that there's a lot of copilots out there. So, yeah. But I definitely encourage you to try if you were ever curious about the Power Platform, and you say, hey, it looks easy, but I still need to learn and so on. Like now it's a great time to look at, because now there's copilots across the whole Power Platform. You can go to Power Apps and build an application just with natural language. You can go to Power Automate and build an automation with natural language. So I would say I encourage folks to, hey, if you're not familiar with Power Platform and you would like to build your own solutions, like go there. And I think Copilot will help you even get faster than that. I think you'll be surprised by the solutions that you can build easily and now more faster with the Copilot. I encourage folks to that. And then if you want to build your own Copilot, go and check out Copilot Studio. And the great thing about everything that was announced today is it's available. So if you go today to portomate.com, browse.com, copilotstudio.com, you're going to be able to go and try it out those today.
Would you like to share one or two use cases you are personally using this Power Automate, for example? I mean, in which situations is it helping you in your personal life as a program manager?
In Power Automate or Copilot or
In your day-to-day work, do you run your own Power Automate to support your workflows? Do you
definitely
have simple workflows like moving email around or extracting data from emails? is that something you're doing on a day by basis?
Definitely. Basically, I would say there's two areas that I use mostly. One is as a product manager, like one of my roles is to see how folks are using our product. So we have a lot of feedback mechanisms. We have surveys, we have in-product feedback, we have reviews in our stores, we have support tickets. So there's a lot of data coming into that. So I have an automation that basically once a week goes over all that, collects all data. There's also some AI magic that goes and generates a summary and gives me like insight. Okay, these are the top topics that happened last week. Like there seems to be like some issue around like some new feature that we launched, like there's some complaints around that. So that helps me like take all that information and get like once a week like a very summarized email with action items. So I would say that is one that I use frequently. And the other one is also many times I have to send like status reports to my team, like, hey, well, what is the progress of the product that we're building? Are there any blockers and so on? So for example, in our development process, we use Azure DevOps, where we track all our tasks, our issues and so on. I also have Power BI dashboards. So I have an automation that basically goes, take the relevant data from from Azure DevOps, from Power BI, and also generates a status report that then I share with my team. So you know, they definitely like once you start using them, like I have, for example, for my personal life, like I have some payments today I have to do like every month,
yeah.
And the only way to automate them is to basically the only way to do that is to go to a website and type in the financial data. Now what I just do is I go and have a list of flow that every once a month enters the financial data into the Uber form. So I think it once you start using Power Automate, like you start seeing so many automation opportunities around.
Okay. So I didn't know there's a desktop.
Yeah, that's
really
amazing.
Okay, and so this is something like Selenium or something like that. I mean,
even better. Jokes aside. So Selenium is indeed is mostly for web testing purposes. In our case, it's basically UI automation at the web level, but also at the application level. Like, also automate your Windows apps, and then of course it comes like with the whole. Like you have your automations, you can have a simple no-code designer, you can then share those automations, you can then cover them, you can also offer for like, one thing that we offer as Microsoft is to run these desktop flows, like you need to run them in the machine. So if it's personal productivity, it's going to be on your machine. If you're a large company, you have a large company organization, like usually you have VMs to run those machines. But what we found out is that customers were coming with those VMs, but they were like, say like, now I need to manage the VMs, I need to monitor them, I need to make sure they are their patch and so on. So we have an offer called Hosted Machines, where basically from the port to my port, you can say, hey, I have RPI, I have desktop flows that I need to run, and I need three machines. And you just go to a port, you see three machines, and we automatically provision those three machines. We take care of all the whole management, Power Automate comes pre-installed. And it's based, I don't know if you heard, so there's an offering called Windows 65.
Yeah.
So the hosted machines are based on Windows 65, so it also comes with that management capability. The desktop flow, like the history of Power Automate, like we started, for those of you who might be more familiar, called Microsoft Flow.
Yeah.
And it was just what we now call Cloud Flow. So it was for automated cloud services. And what we found out very quickly is that there's a large market out there of applications and websites where there's no API connectivity. And the only way to automate them is to basically replicate what a human does with mouse and keyboard. And that's why we invested into a whole API suite. So we have a very, very large market and very large opportunities there as well.
Yeah. I should really play around with this. This was really, I didn't have too much time to play around with, but it's really powerful because, yeah, you have, it's in also an easy start because it's your machine, you're providing internet connectivity, internet speed. It's, there's no extra consumption based for that, as far as I'm aware. So, and then what you mentioned. So once you get to the capability limits or you need more, do it a little bit more professional, then you have the scaling capabilities. And at the end, and I'm always, I think it's unfair to compare. It's like in Excel where we recorded macros, it is recording this and now think about doing everything. But Jan, and maybe you can educate me. I think for you, I have a bad message. Is it available for Mac?
It's not available for markets.
Yeah, I'm sorry for
it's,
you.
It's today.
That's okay.
I've VMs, you know.
But we have great Windows computers or Surface lines, so switch.
Yeah, exactly. We're always trying to convince them to have them on Windows, and we're seeing a lot of it in the Power Platform. It's really funny. The guys are moving to Mac, and then we see them run, and it's on your benefit, Windows 365 machine, just to do the Power BI desktop designer and stuff like this, because they didn't notice or didn't check.
I now have a privileged access workstation, which is Windows-based, but I cannot do anything on that, so it will not help.
Perfect. But this is really an awesome product. I think I'm not sure how well aware everybody is about that, because I think not a lot of people know about it. But I think it's a great starting point to get into this, and then maybe because there's also, and I don't want to talk about licensing, but this is a hurdle everybody has to take. There are great opportunities out there with development tenants from Microsoft where you can play around with it. And that's one of the opportunities where you really can go and leverage your machine as a compute resource you already have, free of charge. And I think that's a really good thing.
Definitely. I mean, on the, if you already have, if your company already has a Microsoft 365 subscription, you can get started for free with Portomate. You can build your automations for free. Portomate desktop comes pre-installed in Windows 11, and you can start that for free. So yeah, as I was saying before, indeed there are licensing, but there's free trials as well, and there's developer tenants as well. So you can try everything for free, and hopefully you find it's available and say, okay, I'm going to go and upgrade to a premium license. So yep.
That's what we're all going to do, upgrade to premium licenses. Perfect. Yeah, anything else you want to share with us?
No, thank you so much again for having me.
It was very interesting. Yeah, it was really interesting. Thank you very much, Joe.
Yes, it's an exciting time to be in the Microsoft space. Mm-hmm. Well, as we were discussing, whether you are near to the infrastructure, developer, IT pro, seasoned developer, it's a super exciting time. So yeah, thanks again for having me in your podcast.
Thanks, Joe.
Every time again. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye. Bye-bye.